My name is Michael Newell. I'm 17 years old. Today is March 1st, and I'm speaking with Scott Newell, who is my father. We are recording this interview in Laurel, Maryland.
Michael S. Newell, Sr. January 17th, 1973, Bronx, New York. Athlete, adventurous, grew up dyslexic, a little different. To be more open to new things. That's about it. Winning two state soccer championships. My friends, having different multiple friend groups, not just a normal jock and math guy or whatever. Different friends. Up until I was 13 or 14, I went to my grandmother's house in New York every summer. And then after that, I worked when I was 15. When I started driving, I got a job, and I worked every summer until I went to college. The least favorite one, I would say, would be landscaping. It was hot, and it was not a good job.
Landscaping?
Yeah, landscape company.
Like, what did you do?
Like, plant flowers, bushes in the summertime, weeding, pick up... Just like landscapers do.
You did that during the summer?
Yeah. That was one of my jobs.
That's crazy.
I had all kinds of jobs.
All right, what about your most favorite?
My favorite job was a liquor store. I worked at the liquor store when I was in high school. Brown Liquor.
Is that even allowed now?
Yeah. I couldn't work the register. I only could stock the shelves and stuff. If I could go back and live to a teen, only if I can go with the knowledge I have now. If I was gonna go and be the same stupid kid, then maybe not. That was only two. Those are the reasons.
Like, what did you?
I'm just saying, if I had the knowledge that I know now, I would go back and relive my teenage years. But if I had to go back and do it all over again, probably not. There's nothing wrong, just probably not. Historical,
like, it could be like major events or like unique ones, like
I wouldn't say I was a part of any events, but I mean,
so like when I say like major events, it would be 9/11.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say, like, I wasn't part of it, but a lot of events, the space shuttle blowing up when I was in I think elementary school. 9/11. I mean, a whole bunch. I can't even think of all the events that happened in my lifetime, honestly. There's so many. Those are the two that stand out right off the top of my head.
There was nothing in the 80s that was like crazy?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, major events, like, you know, how music transitioned and hip hop got bigger. You know, in the 80s, hip-hop wasn't that big, but hip-hop got huge, and hip-hop was taking over the world now.
Wait, did your mom look at hip-hop like how you look at music now? Where it's just like, you don't...
Yes. I can say that. My mother didn't get hip-hop at all in the 80s, and it was very young, it was very early, you know what I mean? It didn't make any... I mean, it made sense, but it just... The older crowd didn't get it, so they just definitely looked at it a different way.
So what were they listening to? Like, what?
They were listening to, you know, R&B and soul back then. Luther Vandross, my brother loved Luther Vandross. You know, it was mostly R&B.
It was like only R&B.
There was mostly R&B, and then, you know, yeah, I'd say it was 90% R&B, R&B, yeah, and soul music.
There was nothing like up-tempo at all.
But R&B is up-tempo. It's not a whole love song. R&B is up-tempo. Like, what are you talking
like
about?
Like what type of...
Like New Edition. You know what I mean? They're upbeat. There were plenty of groups. The Commodores. Earth, Wind & Fire. They were all upbeat. They had slow songs, but upbeat. Lionel Richie.
I mean, I've heard of them.
I know, but I was saying. They were had upbeat songs, yes. But that's what they listened to. That and some rock. My mother didn't listen to rock a lot, but it was mostly R&B soul.
What about the 90s?
90s, that's when hip-hop hit. You know what I mean? Really strong. That's what they call it, the golden era of 90s. That's when it really hit. You know? It really kind of took over. You know? But it was still my mother's age. They were still listening to oldies and, you know, R&B and hip-hop. I mean, R&B and soul music.
Were there any, like, other historical events in the 90s that happened? That you remember?
In the 90s? Oh, I can't even... you cut you off. I can't even think of any right this minute, but I'm sure there were. Can't think of any 90s right now. It'll come to me. But I can't think of any right now.
Wasn't there a war in the 80s or something?
Not in the 80s.
Or there was something, like, political... Like crazy.
There's always political. 80s, 90s, it's always something. You know, the Reagan era and the Bush era, where they were supposedly, you know, the CIA was supplying crack to the hood, basically.
Oh, wait, you know, that was like, 80s. Wasn't that, it was like Reagan or Bush who was putting like crack in D.C.?
Yeah, supposedly Reagan, yeah, in the 80s, early 80s, that's where crack came from.
From the government?
It's never been proven, but everybody kind of knows. I mean, all the major drug dealers, the big ones, are talking now and saying, yeah, the CIA was giving me, you know, a hookup.
So the government, like, they developed
developed it. They supplied it. And then the hood developed it. So they supplied the cocaine. You know, they made it an easy way of cocaine to get in the United States and into the hood. And then the major people turned it into crack.
Wait, when you say they made an easy way, was that like...
So like in the early, you know, this is from major dealers talking. From the early, you know, Vietnam era, 70s to into the 80s, when they were flying planes back and forth from Vietnam and, you know, Colombia, just in general, it was easier to get drugs into the United States as it is now.
So the CIA was like letting them?
So they were kind of just letting it go. Yeah.
And
helping it get into the hood, into the right hands. And then they developed it into crack.
So what was like the point of getting it into the hood?
I mean, it's so many theories. It's so many conspiracy theories are saying, you know, to bring down, to get areas so they can be taken over, so they can, you know, so they can basically say, make this area bad so they can come in and redevelop it, so I can come in and redevelop it and kick all these people out.
So like
they have to tear it down first.
Gentrification?
Yes, to bring it up.
Oh.
Yes. You see what I'm saying? They have to make it like, oh, this is bad. We need to take this over and turn it into somewhere new and good. So we're going to kick all these crackheads out of here. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. That was all those days. But I mean, it can't be confirmed yet, but that's, people are talking. So, but that was in my area. I can't think of anything else right now. There's so many. Wow. You caught me off guard on that one. That's a good question. All right, what's the next person?
All right.
No. I mean, because at those times, you know, I just thought, wow, this is the drug epidemic is taking over so seriously in certain areas. But at the same time, I was in cash shop. I was in, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, but all my friends were from the hood. So I kind of went back and forth, but I mean, it really didn't affect me per se. I would see it and I would go visit my friends, but it wasn't affecting me personally. I just thought it was so crazy, and I was fortunate to live where I lived.
So you were like, you had one of those things where you saw it going on, but like, it didn't affect you at all.
It didn't really affect me, right? Because luckily, my mother moved us to the suburbs, and that's where I grew up. So it didn't affect me personally. It more affected me when I visit my friends in the hood. Because mm-hmm. I'd be like, wow, you see a bunch of crackheads all over the place.
So you had friends that were impacted by...
Oh, yeah. I have a whole bunch of friends that lived in the hood. That's what I guess made me... I wouldn't say made me, but... It gave me a different perspective of how certain people grew up in the suburbs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of having friends that live in the hood that I go visit and, hang out. So I got to see two sides of things. So it sucks when I go visit them because they're my friends and we like to hang out in the city. But at the same time, it's just like, wow, this is the hood. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's crackheads everywhere and drugs everywhere. So.
Were they actually like crackheads everywhere?
Yeah, crackheads everywhere going to the corner and doing hand to hand and getting drugs right there 10 feet from me. And then, yes, some of my friends were drug dealers, but, it is what it is.
What would your friends say, like, when they would go to your house?
They'd just be like, wow, I can't believe you live here. Like, is your mother rich? that was always the biggest question. Like, are you rich? Is your mother rich? Like, no, I'm not rich. My mother just happened to have a really good job and moved us to the suburbs. Simple as that. She just happened to, she was ZZ. Got her nursing degree when I was young and moved up and was able to make a good living for herself. You know what I mean? We didn't have to live in the hood. So my friends were just amazed at where I lived at. They couldn't believe that somebody could have a backyard and a driveway and lived in a nice house where there's nobody at the street corner selling drugs. Because there was no street corner. It was just cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It took them and my neighbor had a pool that I can go into anytime.
So they were like amazed.
They were just amazed about like, because I remember taking my friends to the pool and being like, hey, we're going to go jump in my neighbor's pool real quick. And they were just shocked, like, do you know these people? I'm like, yeah, my neighbors. I go in there all the time. Yeah, so it was just a new experience for them. So it was interesting growing up. I'm proudest of my kids. I couldn't believe I had twins, a boy and a girl, I'm very proud of them. I'm proud, Cassius, be quiet. I'm proud of being in business for this year will be 16 years. I stuck it out because I said I was going to make sure you guys had a good life. I'm proud of being almost married 20 years this year. A lot of people don't stay married that long. It's rated divorce. I'm just proud of where we are right now as a family.
Do you plan on retiring after we like go to college?
No. Retiring. I'm not going to retire after you go to college.
Just going to keep on working?
I'm working on other businesses and trying to figure out something else right now.
So Tires on the Go is not like a forever thing?
No, Tires on the Go is not a forever thing. When I started Tires on the Go, I started it to give you guys a good life while you're in school. That was my goal. I think I've done so good so far. Some of the important lessons I've learned in life. A whole bunch. Try not to hold grudges. Let a lot of stuff roll off your back. Don't start a fight, but always finish it. And try to just be calm in life and try not to stress too much. That's a very hard thing to do, but it can happen. But yeah, just learn a lot of lessons in business. How to do things, doing things differently now that I know a lot from business wise, raising kids, a lot of lessons from that. I don't know, this is a lot, really. I'm not a big talker. I don't know. Can't really explain. I've learned a lot, but I couldn't narrow them down. That's all I can think of, really.
What about, like, some from, like, working?
From working?
Yeah.
Try not to burn a bridge. I'll tell you that. You know, from working, because you never know when you're going to need that. Not necessarily that same job back, but you never know you might need that person come back around. You know what I mean? I try to just stay out of drama. That's my biggest thing. I try to stay out of all kinds of drama. If it doesn't pertain to you, or if you're doing a deal and the deal doesn't pertain to you, just stay out of it. Don't even comment on it or nothing. Just completely stay out of it. That's what I live by now. That's about it.
All right.
Good.